In the darkest winter of her life, best-selling author Danielle Steele found herself drowning in grief after her 19-year-old son Nick's suicide. As the holiday season approached, her pain felt unbearable. Then came a moment of clarity, a spiritual prompting to help the homeless, despite her lifelong fear of them. This unexpected calling would transform not just her life, but the lives of countless people living on San Francisco's streets. What began as a single night's mission with her friend Jennifer, distributing warm jackets, sleeping bags, and gloves from her car, evolved into something profound. That first cold December evening, Steele discovered something that shattered her preconceptions. The people they encountered weren't dangerous or demanding, but grateful, warm, and unfailingly polite. Most striking was how every interaction ended with "God bless you," rather than requests for money. The contrast between these street encounters and her lavish Christmas party the following night was jarring. As San Francisco's elite mingled in her Pacific Heights mansion, Steele found herself haunted by what she'd witnessed, especially when a high-ranking city official dismissed her concerns about homelessness. The gulf between these worlds, champagne flutes and cardboard mats, heated marble floors and freezing concrete, couldn't have been clearer. And Steele knew which reality now called to her more powerfully. What Steele intended as a one-time act of charity quickly evolved into something more substantial. A week after their first outreach, she felt compelled to return, expanding her team and supplies. The need was overwhelming. People in soaked clothing, bare feet, and disintegrating shoes, many sick and shivering in the winter rain. Their most heartbreaking encounter was a delirious young man, one-legged with long blonde hair, sitting soaked in a doorway. About her son Nick's age, Steele tearfully offered him their last jacket and sleeping bag, carrying his memory forever afterward. Steele realized this wasn't temporary. The faces stayed with her, and the need was too enormous to ignore. She preferred their direct approach over established organizations, finding those too dysfunctional to reach shelters or soup kitchens. Their team, Yo Angel, grew to 11 diverse members who rarely missed monthly outings. Their system evolved from chaotic to methodical, with organized inventory of essentials to better serve those they encountered. What began as grief-driven charity had transformed into a sustainable outreach operation that would last 11 years. Working on the streets revealed how truly hostile cities are to homeless people. Steele witnessed firsthand how urban centers employ tactics designed not to solve homelessness, but to simply move people elsewhere, a shell game hiding rather than addressing the problem. The system employs what Steele calls creaming, helping only the most functional individuals while ignoring those who are less capable, disturbed, or mentally ill. These forgotten people became exactly who Steele's team sought, those who couldn't access free dining rooms, feared dangerous shelters, or couldn't navigate complex paperwork. Instead of assistance, cities primarily resort to harassment. In San Francisco, Department of Public Works crews would arrive with dump trucks to clean up areas by confiscating all belongings from homeless people temporarily away. Steele witnessed the DPW destroy an entire camp near San Francisco's baseball stadium, leaving dozens crying in shock amid debris crushed beneath truck wheels. Though Steele might forget faces from dinner parties, she rarely forgot those she met on the streets. Brenda, with silver Christmas balls in her hair, pleading, "Please don't forget me." Jerry, asking, "Will you pray for me?" A pregnant woman living in a cardboard crib, a former Silicon Valley executive in a business suit who lost everything. These weren't statistics. They were individuals with names, stories, and dignity. Though most encounters were friendly, Steele's team remained vigilant about potential dangers, avoiding certain areas and vehicles with unseen occupants. Scary moments were rare but significant. They accidentally walked into a robbery targeting homeless people. Once, Steele got trapped against their van by a hostile man, whose demeanor changed when she explained their mission. They fled Market Street when too many people spotted them distributing supplies. Most frightening was a brief visit near 6th Street. They left shortly before police swarmed the area following a nearby killing. Despite these risks, the team developed protocols balancing safety with dignity. They never photographed people, asked invasive questions, or made recipients feel like charity cases, approaching each person respectfully and offering rather than imposing help. Steele overcame fear by training herself to see Jesus in every intimidating person, keeping a painting of Jesus with a "will work for food" sign as her reminder. This mental reframing helped her recognize the humanity beyond appearances. As their operation evolved, Steele's team expanded from distributing 75 bags to 300 per night. Each contained essential items: warm clothing, sleeping bags, nutritious food, toiletries, and first aid supplies. The most unexpected success came from adding teddy bears. Initially controversial, these simple toys triggered profound emotional responses, especially from tough-looking men who often broke into tears, named their bears, and clutched them to their chests. The bears became symbols of lost innocence and hope. This revealed something crucial about homelessness. Beyond physical deprivation, homeless individuals suffer from isolation, loss of identity, and absence of tender human connection. The bears addressed this hidden wound, offering comfort that sometimes seemed more valuable than practical supplies. This insight transformed Steele's understanding of their mission. While keeping people physically alive remained primary, she recognized they were also preserving humanity and dignity, reminding people they were worthy of care, kindness, and small joys. Though Steele's outreach was unique, many organizations serve the homeless population, including Larkin Street Youth Services, At the Crossroads, the Homeless Prenatal Program, and Street Outreach Services, each addressing different aspects of homelessness. Steele understood that no single approach could solve homelessness. The issue requires a mosaic of responses, addressing everything from immediate survival needs to long-term housing, physical health to mental wellness, and individual support to systemic change. Her team reached those who couldn't or wouldn't access institutional help due to distrust, mental illness, or lack of awareness. After 11 years, Steele's team ended their outreach due to financial constraints. As Yo Angel's sole funder, maintaining her anonymity, the thousands spent annually became too costly. One encounter remains vivid: a couple in a doorway on a rainy winter night. The man, wearing only a t-shirt, jeans, and flip-flops, had given his jacket to the crying woman beside him. As he comforted her while shivering himself, Steele witnessed profound love. When they received warm clothes, sleeping bags, and food, both cried with gratitude. What began as a response to grief became a mission that gave Steele's life new meaning. She hopes to inspire others to see the homeless rather than look away, to recognize that even small efforts preserve both lives and humanity. The greatest gift isn't just material support, but hope, the assurance that someone cares enough to see the person within.